Well, good morning.
Good morning.
Last time we met, we looked at the topic of church. Why church is important, we're going to get to that today. But we left off last week talking about why we have church membership. Some people think that if your name is written down on a piece of paper affiliated with the church, that means you got access to heaven now, because you're a member of a church. That's not biblical. That's not true. We talked about several reasons why it's important to become a church member. And just to reiterate, one of the biggest reasons is when somebody becomes a church member, and before they become a church member, we have church bylaws and our statement of faith that we send home with somebody that wants to become a member, and we encourage them to read it all over and see how this church runs, because this church doesn't run the same way as the church in South Liberty, probably. Very similar, but each church has their operation of service is a little different, and the way they run things might be a little bit different, but Lord willing, it's all based on Scripture, and we don't have a dictatorship here where the pastor is the only one that makes the decision. He oftentimes, we have a vote on certain things that need to be done in the church, and we, as a group, as a family, as a family of members, if you're a member, you can cast a vote, and we vote accordingly. We have a say in it. When we become a member, we have a say in what goes on in this local church. The other reason we discussed of when we become a member, we are putting ourselves under the authority of our pastor. Not that he can rule over us and tell us what to, he's not going to tell us what to do out of a heart of just ruling us and making us jump through hoops. He's watching out for our spiritual souls. He's our shepherd. And as a shepherd watches out for his flock, he's going to take care of his sheep the best he can because he loves them. He wants to take care of them. He wants to see them grow. And when we become a member, we are allowing the pastor to hold us accountable. And sometimes people don't want to become members because they don't want to be held accountable. I don't want to get ahead of myself, but I'll... David Cloud had an experience with somebody in his church, and he says this: through the years, some believers have disagreed disagreed with David Cloud about church membership. They were convinced the only membership they needed is to be part of Christ through salvation. And they often have had an attitude, a bad attitude towards pastoral authority. He says, I once asked a church hopper, somebody that goes from church to church, really not settled down, who has the rule over you? He replied, Christ. And David Cloud, I said, but Hebrews 3:17, we ended off reading these two verses last week. Hebrews 13:7 and Hebrews 13:17, both of those verses talk about the rulers of the church, meaning the elders and the pastor, deacon, those who are in leadership in the church, having rule over the members of the church. And it doesn't mean we have a jail in the back room and we slap the gavel and we get to throw you in jail. I mean, it's like I said before, it's when it says rule over them, it means that they're just more attentive as to, we're all trying to keep each other out of sin, I guess is what I'm trying to say. And when pastor's up here preaching, praying at home before he comes in to speak to us, he has our souls in mind. He has our spiritual well-being in mind. And if we're not willing to be able to take it on the chin once in a while when the truth is spoken, and it might hit home. Ultimately, it's for our good. It's to keep us on the straight and narrow. He's looking out for our best interests. And when we become a church member, we're agreeing that maybe we might have a knock on the door one day, and one of the church leaders might say, "Well, I'm just real concerned. I haven't seen you in church lately. Just wanna touch base with you and see if everything's okay." They're not coming there because they're throwing their authority around and their church badge. We don't have any of those yet, but maybe we can get some. But they're there out of a heart of love to try to help, encourage. David Cloud mentions that there are places where there are no sound New Testament churches. And in this state, it's getting harder and harder to find a church that has the same doctrine that we believe. It's getting more kooky, more worldly every day. But David Cloud says there are places where it's hard to find a good New Testament church. And in such situations, the believer has to do the best he can under God's guidance. If I found myself in such a situation, I would do everything possible either to start a good church or to move to a place where I could become a faithful member of such a church. He says, "I also know many believers who commute 1 hour or more to attend a good church." He said, "I even know one couple who commuted 3 hours, 3 hours one way to church because there had been no good church in their area." That's dedication. People have a tendency to want to compromise, and thank God we don't have to do that here. Thank God we don't have to do that.
Yes, sir.
So I'm going to shift gears here, and we're going to spend the rest of this morning looking at the importance of being faithful to church. So the following are, I think there are 9 or 10 examples, or eight, something like that, examples of the importance of being faithful to church. Number one, first reason for why being faithful to church is important is because we as believers need the teaching and preaching. We really can't get enough teaching and preaching, can we?
Yes, sir.
We get a couple hours when we come on Sunday, and there's still 80 plus hours in the week left where we're facing spiritual battle. We really can't get enough of the preaching and teaching. But when we come here, it's good to take notes. We can take it home with us. We can meditate on it throughout the week. Colossians 1:28, and you can write these down, or if you have your books, they're in there. I apologize. I didn't have a chance to type up and have the verses cut out, which you folks normally read and help me out with, but I'll read them this morning. Colossians 1:28 says, "Whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus." He says, "Whom we preach, warning every man and teach every man." Preaching and teaching needs to become is the reason we come to church. It's why we come. We should want to receive the preaching and the teaching. The church is, somebody put it this way, the church is a divinely ordained Bible institute. This is school. When we come to church, we're in essence going to school in a way, because we're learning. We're coming here to learn something. Every time we come through these doors, we should try to tell ourselves, "Boy, I want to take something home with me today. Something I haven't learned before. There's always something we can get." let me see. The church is, like I say, a divinely ordained Bible institute. And God gives ministry gifted individuals in the church an opportunity to exercise their godly gifts. I don't feel like I'm gifted to be a teacher. I just feel like I'm just trying to be a servant and try to help where I can. Yeah. But I don't feel like I have the gift of teaching, but until I'm thrown out, you're stuck with me.
Yes, sir.
Ephesians, turn to Ephesians 4. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 through 15 lists some of the positions that God has put into place in the within the church to as leaders and overseers. It says in Ephesians 4, 11 through 15, like I say here, we're going to look at a list of those who God has put in churches to build up the flock and to protect them from error. Verse 11, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men in cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. This kind of summarizes the leaders that we have in the church, but it also shows the attitude they're supposed to have as they're leading the church. It says part of the verse where it talks about love, with a heart of love. And why do they do this? It's because they protect us so that we don't fall into the pitfalls of the doctrines that are out there in this world. They help us to become firm in our faith so that we're not carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men, it says, and cunning craftiness. There's enough cunning craftiness going on out there right now, and it comes through the shield or through the veil of entertainment. There's a lot of people that they go to the church and there's loud music and they have the lights and smoke show and they're being entertained, and because they entered a church building, they think that they're saved and they're... It's just confusion. It entertains the flesh, but it does nothing for the soul. But anyways, the second reason why faithfulness to church is important is because the believer needs fellowship with other Christians. We need to be encouraged by others too. It's wonderful to have a pastor who we can seek encouragement from, but it's also wonderful when we can share with a fellow believer. I'm going to use Eric as an example. A lot of times Eric and I will talk, and Eric will mention a passage of scripture that spoke to him, and it's encouraging. It's encouraging when we can be encouraged by another brother or sister who is encouraged by the word. It doesn't have to be just the pastor that encourages us as we fellowship together. Acts 2:42 says, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, in fellowship, and in breaking of bread, and in prayers. This is right after the church got started, and it says they continued in fellowship. Fellowship with like-minded brethren who love the Lord is a necessary part of a Christian growth for us, in order for us to grow. Everybody in this room has been through something different in their life. Everybody in this room has had times in their lives where they've had to lean on God, and they can share those experiences with others, and hopefully will encourage them if they're going through a hard time. The third reason why faithfulness to church is important is because we at this church, we do it, I guess it's about once a month, is we participate in the Lord's Supper. Mm-hmm. And really what the Lord's Supper is it gives us a chance to focus on ourselves for a minute to see if there's any sin between us and God. Mm-hmm. It helps us focus on others, because if there is a division amongst or a bitterness between ourselves and another brother or sister in Christ, it gives us an opportunity to take care of that, bring it to mind. It's kind of a cleansing, so to speak, of the church when we have a little Lord's Supper, and it also helps us focus on the Lord Jesus and what he has done for us. It's hard to participate in the Lord's Supper at your own home without a body of believers. Acts 2:42 talks about the breaking of bread, which refers to the Lord's Supper. The Lord's Supper is a church ordinance, and we participate in that here. And unless you're a member of the church and a baptized believer, you're not supposed to participate in the Lord's Supper. In the New Testament, it is always a church function. David Cloud mentions, and I actually enjoyed listening to this individual on the radio, J. Vernon McGee. I used to listen to him in the morning at about 5 o'clock in the morning in the woods of Willimantic working in my machine, and I enjoyed it. But I guess there was one time that he, over the radio, conducted the Lord's Supper, which is not scriptural, but that's besides the point. It's important for us to observe the Lord's Supper, and you can't get that unless you come to church. The fourth reason why faithfulness to church is important is because the believer needs the prayers of fellow believers. It needs to be prayed for by fellow believers. Acts 2:41 and 42 says, "Then they that gladly received his word were baptized. In the same day they were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, in fellowship, and in breaking of bread, and in prayers." Prayer is one of the four essential spiritual activities mentioned in connection with the first church. This refers to corporate prayer, which means praying with each other for each other. Praying as a group, praying as a family, praying as a church. Prayer is one of the four essential, like I say, spiritual activities that were mentioned when the first church was started. So, in number five, the fifth reason why being faithful to church is important is because the believers need the ministry of exhortation from other brothers and sisters. Turn to Yeah, turn to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10, we're going to look at verses 24 and 25. It says, "And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching." You know, when we come to church, we sometimes have the attitude of, I wonder what I'm going to get today. And I mentioned this last week. When we come to church, we should really be thinking, how can I serve the Lord today? That meaning, if you see a need in another brother or sister, come alongside, try to encourage. And it says here, let us consider one another to provoke one another, to provoke unto love and to good works. That's really what it's all about. We're all trying to pull in the same direction, doing good, trying to serve others. You know, those who are servants are happy people. I find very few people that have their mind on others as being grumpy people. It's just an observation, but number six. The sixth reason why being faithful to church is important is because the believer needs spiritual protection. Every time we come through the doors of this church and we learn something new to apply to our lives, we're actually, I picture it as adding another piece of chainmail to our armor, so to speak. It's another, maybe putting a little bit of sharper edge on our sword. It's a way we can store away these verses and things that come to mind that when the devil throws his darts at us throughout the week, we can better protect ourselves. And it says, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. I just read that verse. And, you know, the church is like a family. It's a place of nurture and protection for the children of God. And that's what we are. Where we come here, we hopefully find a sense of security when we come here and like-mindedness. We're all pulling in the same direction. I hope we're not all pointing fingers at each other, because you know what? We have three pointing back. The Bible warns that there are many powerful spiritual enemies. And these will grow stronger as time goes on, but those who are careless about church attendance and who are not as committed as they should be are in danger of being devoured by the world, the flesh, and the devil. The seventh reason why being faithful to church is important is because the believer needs the ministry of discipline. And I kind of touched on that in the beginning. We already kind of mentioned church discipline in the very first part of last week's lesson. And it's, like I say, it's not meant to be where the pastor gets joy out of disciplining us. It's meant for our good. Just as a parent disciplines his children, because it is meant for good. They're trying to help them. They're trying to help them grow. And it's a good thing to be held accountable, as much as we don't like that sometimes. I'll share a quote with you about accountability. John Wesley was so concerned with building up his church that he devised a series of questions for his fellow followers to ask each other every week. Some found this rigorous system of inquiry too demanding, and they left. You're going to find some people that just don't like authority. And like I said, I don't think we We see our pastor as being a dictator and smashing us on the knuckles every time he gets a chance. Ultimately, he loves us. He's looking out for us. He's pulling for us. He's trying to help us. But when we become a member, we are basically giving him permission to hold us accountable. That's how I look at it. If we're not willing to have others help us to grow spiritually, we're in trouble. The eighth reason why being faithful to church is important is because the believer needs to contribute his spiritual gifts in ministry. I guess I'll, for sake of time, I'll hold off. But in 1 Corinthians 12, 12 through 27, it talks about all the members of the body. It talks about the importance of each member of the body. From the layman to the pastor to the window washer to the floor sweeper to the guy mowing the lawn. Every part of the body is important. From teachers to Sunday school teachers to nursery school workers. Every part is important. As in a way of analogy, it just kind of came to mind, you know, if Brother Cheyenne knows this more than anybody, but if just one part of the body is not working correctly, it throws everything off.
Yes, sir.
I remember him talking about his feet and not being able to just have the flexibility in his toes and what a difficulty it was just to do the very simple things he used to be able to do. And just because of the toe, I can hear him screaming now. Just all I wanted you to do is bend, just bend. But when one member suffers, we all suffer. And we all work together as a machine when everything is working well. But every member is important. Every member is important. Mom, can you bring this folder? Thank you. So we need to ask ourselves, young people as well, just because you're little and you're in church, and you can do things to help out here too. You can have a ministry in the church. When you're out there playing on the playground and you're going to come inside and you see that piece of trash on the ground, you can pick it up. You can help make this church clean. You can help this. You can help out in some way. There's always something you can do to help. And by doing so, you're helping Pastor. You're helping your mom and dad because they don't have to pick it up. There's something you can do to help. So we should ask ourselves, what ministry can I get involved in? How can I serve the Lord in the church? What is my part? We should all seek to grow stronger and gain more wisdom from God's word, so that we can find what it is that God wants us to do. There's always something we can do. And we don't have to be in the limelight. A lot of times just doing things behind the scenes is the best way. I believe this is the last. Yeah, this is the last one this morning. The ninth reason why being faithful to church is important is because the believer needs to contribute his tithes and offerings. And there are many examples in the Word of God where tithing is illustrated. It's very important. Malachi 3:10 talks about, this says, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. God wants us to prove Him. You know, when we give, we think we're never going to get it back. But God says it's not the case. If you give in the right spirit, in the right heart, He will repay you. And we're storing up treasures in heaven when we give. And one good thing is the IRS can't tax us on that, by the way. In the Mosaic dispensation, the titles, the tithes and offerings were brought into the temple, but tithing was a practice that began in ancient times before Moses. Abraham gave tithes to Melchizedek, God's priest in the day, back in the day, and that's found in Genesis. We believe tithing is a good starting point for New Testament believers. If God's people faithfully tithe, the needs of the church will be met. Tithing is wise. Those who have more, give more. It's kind of weak as a standard rule. We have 10% is you give 10%, but you can give whatever God lays on your heart. There are some places in Scripture where the law of Moses and the tithe was at least 20% of one's income. The Israelites were required to give 10% of all their increase. And you can find this in Numbers 18 through 20, 24 through 28, and in Nehemiah 10, 38, talks about tithing. And so I think we have just, I should wrap it up here, but I'd like to go over these questions really quick, if you have them. So what are the three ways that we know the church is important? What are three ways that we know the church is important? There's probably 100 ways, but I just have down church is important because Jesus established it. Jesus would not have come to this earth and set the example for us if He didn't think church was important. He established the church. Does anybody have another reason why church is important? Isaiah?
We have a pastor, so the pastor can
preach
to us about God's word.
Yep, that's right. If we didn't have church, we couldn't come and hear our pastor teach us, right? That's very good. Anybody else? Stephen.
Church. Help. Help. Church. Help. There in church. Help. There. Help. Church.
Okay.
All the church. Link. Up. Dirt.
Yep. Gotcha. Okay, Stephen. Yep, church is good. Sounds like Stephen comes to church and help out. Cleans the floor.
Yeah.
Gives Stephen a chance to exercise his spiritual gift of helps.
Amen.
And he said, I think I caught it helps his father and aunt too, so that's a good thing. That might have been interpretation on my part, but... Yeah, I know you do. Yeah. Let me see. I'll skip on number two. What verse says the church is the pillar and ground of the truth? Not everybody all at once. It's in 1 Timothy 3:15. I got to read the verse. But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. And the question number three says, what does this mean when it's talking about the pillar and the ground of truth? You know, Jesus created the church to be the foundation of truth and to lift it up so that the world can see the church as being a place of truth. What we have in our laps this morning, the Bible is not a fairy tale. It is truth, and it is from God. And it's a way for others to see that we lift up the Word of God, and we have church, because it is the pillar and the ground of truth. How many times is the church mentioned in the New Testament? And that was mentioned last week. The church is mentioned 110 times in the New Testament. To whom is the book of Revelation addressed? That's a kind of a tricky one if you weren't here last week. It's addressed to the seven churches. Very good. Why is it not right to speak of the church in America or the church of Nepal? It's kind of a, I want to say, a trick question unless you were here. The Bible never talks about a specific church. It talks about churches. And it's a Roman Catholic term, the church, meaning it's just one church, meaning that the Roman Catholic Church is the only church. It's not the case. It's a term that was carried over from Rome. What church was Phoebe a member of? The Bible talks about somebody named Phoebe. What's that?
The Church of Inner House?
No, there was a specific church that they were associated with, and they used that name of the church. It's the Church of Caesarea. When Phoebe was, I believe, visiting another church, they made mention of the name, and then they said they were of the Church of Caesarea. So it's a way of identifying the person with the church that they went to. What are four reasons why we need church membership? Four reasons why we need church membership.
One is to encourage each other.
Yep. So we can fellowship with one another. But I have... does anybody have another reason why it's important to be a church member? To learn and grow. Miles, you had your hand up, buddy? To learn God's Word. That's right. That's good. We need to be church members. When we become a church member, pastor knows who we can thump over the head with the Bible. No. But when you become church members, you're opening yourself up to be held accountable by those in leadership. So pastor can, just come alongside and be able to encourage. But if somebody's not a member, pastor doesn't have any right to try to guide them spiritually or go, to tell them their error of their ways when they haven't decided to become a member. But we need church membership to know who can vote within the church. If we don't know who are members, then we're going to have a strewed vote of the church. We need members to know who is part of this family and is who can vote. And we need church membership to keep the unity and the truth. And like I say, when we become a member, we're in essence saying that we are a family member of Second Baptist Church. And we're going to fellowship together as members, as family members. What verse says the church is to have one mind? I had a hard time finding this in the book. I was going back through it. I had a hard time finding it. Does anybody have that answer? What verse says the church is to have one mind? I ended up looking through Scripture and found two verses that talk about being of one mind or like-minded. Philippians 2:2 says, "Fulfill ye my love, my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. And then Romans 15:6 says, "That ye may with one mind and one mouth glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ."
Yeah.
I don't know if that was in the book somewhere, but those are definitely two verses that talk about having one mind and pulling in the same direction. What book and chapter describes church discipline? 1 Corinthians 5 deals with church discipline. How does a church know who is under discipline? It's not a trick question. How does the church know who is under discipline? It's whoever's a member. Whoever's a member. And lastly, I'll just go, what are 9 reasons why being faithful to church is important? Somebody's got to have one of them. Why is it important that we are faithful to church? So is our love for Christ. Isaiah?
To serve the Lord.
To serve the Lord, yeah. We better serve the Lord when we're faithful to church.
Because our minds are continually evil and we need our church to wash our minds out.
Yep, we need to...
We need to be brainwashed.
Yeah. We need to be brainwashed. We need the preaching and teaching, and that's why we come to church. We also need prayers, right? It's good to come to find out the needs of others so we can pray together and pray for each other. Does anybody else have one?
Contribute
financially. Yes. To contribute, to exercise our faith, really. When we're tithing, it's a exercise in faith, knowing that God is going to take our monies and he's going to use it to build his church. He's going to use it to further the gospel. And it's good for spiritual protection, as Eric mentioned. And the believer needs church because we need to be held accountable. We need to be held accountable. God knows that if we were left to ourselves, we're probably going to end up in the ditch. So it's good to come together where we can be held accountable. And there are some other reasons there, but I think we got, in a nutshell, why it's important to come to church. Well, let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank you for your word. Lord, we thank you that you're God of order and you've set things up specifically, not whimsically, Lord, or not with man's opinion, but set up the way you want it to be set up. Help us to follow you, Lord, and help us to follow the leaders of this church that spend their time on their knees and looking out for our souls. And Lord, I just pray you bless the rest of this service as only you can. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Oh.
mind well, no, it's just going to happen.
Just in time.
I know, I'm